people in here. You know, I don't know what y'all are doing to me. I'm ADD.
Amen.
And one thing that I love to do is move around. Yeah. And y'all just keep on getting closer and closer and closer. In the middle, I just might collapse. It's all right. It'll happen. It's like, what happened? It's okay. People just around. It's all right. So, all right. My name's Clint Hill. And there are a lot of you guys. Praise God. Guys who gave your seats, thank y'all for submitting. Y'all can leave. Y'all have learned. So, we're going to say a prayer. In this prayer, what I'm going to ask y'all to do is to pray for me. Pray for me because I don't do very well. I need the Spirit to speak through me, because if it's Clint that speaks through me, it's just going to be jumblish, gibberish, jumblish. It's not even a word. That's Clint right there. All right, English majors. I'm going to hate this guy. Okay, so, it's like, one guy said, he needed the definitions again, and he saw the definition, like, that's nothing like what you said. I was like, ADD, dude, it looked like, got the jest, you know, so. What I'm going to ask y'all to do, we're going to have a moment of silence. I'm going to ask y'all to pray for me, that God speaks through me, and I'm going to pray for y'all. Because, let's be honest, submission, it shouldn't be a hard topic, but for some strange reason it is. It's one of those things where Jesus has to take his scalpel, like he says in the Hebrews, and cut bone from marrow, soul from flesh, and we need to have perfect precision and be perfectly still to let him work on us today. So what I'm going to need y'all to do is pray for me, and I'm going to pray for y'all that y'all have hearts open, minds open, and ears open. So we're just going to take a moment for a second. Let's just take a moment. Bow your heads. It's a beautiful sound, God. God, what I ask of you, Father God, is to do the impossible, change a man's heart. But God, you said this, you said that nothing is impossible with you, Father God. So we ask the impossible, believing you can do it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you open up hearts, minds, ears, soul, spirit, our strength, everything we have to who you are, Father God. God, we are not here. We didn't travel this far for people. We traveled this far for you. And God, we want to get closer to you. We want to be near you, Father God. God, teach us this strangely delicate subject, Father God. Teach us on what we need to do. Mold us, break us in some instances, and rebuild us back up, Father God. And God, I pray for the speaker, because God, he needs you now. He can't move. He's a little intimidated because everybody's in his space. So God, seriously, give him strength. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all think I'm lying about ADD, man. That is a true statement. And my doctors hated my, and this totally has nothing to do with, well, I guess it does, again. My doctor's like, he needs to be on Ritalin. And my mom's like, we're not doing that to him. And her hair is all, she went like white when she was 30, you know what I mean? Poor lady. So, but go with the meds. That's what I say. So, I'm joking, don't go with the meds. Jesus submits. You are not here because you want to learn more about submission. You're here because you have a problem with submission. And so we're going to go through a couple key aspects of what Jesus does and what Jesus says and what Jesus... It's going to be a little awkward, all right? I'm going to be as gentle as Jesus allows me to be. To some people, like, oh, that's so exciting. To some people, like, I'm scared out of my mind right now, all right? It's like, Jesus is going to be the one who leads this. And we do have a problem with submission. I had a problem with submission for a long, long time. I'm going to get into a little bit of my story a little bit later. But I had a problem with submission because I was an atheist, and God had to do some mean, really what the world would see. Well, I can't believe he'd do that to you. He had to get my attention in a very loud way. I'm also telling you this stuff. I'm not telling you this in theory. I'm telling you this as examples. Don't do what I did. I was an idiot, all right? It's a miracle I survived. I'm telling you this so that you don't have to face the same hardships that I did. that you don't have to wake up in the bed right next to someone, that you have no clue, or wake up with your face down in a toilet and try to find God in everything but who He says He is, which is Jesus Christ. That's what I hope and my prayer is that you find today. So, submittance. Submission. Submit. What's it mean? Oh, sorry. Afterwards, we're going to do a little bit new thing. What we're going to do is we're going to have a little question-answer period. Submission is a huge, broad topic. Please don't think that in 40 minutes we're going to hit everything. If there's something that I missed, please text me and we'll read it. It's anonymous. I don't know y'all's phone number. I'm not going to say the phone number. So, and let's be honest, if I did say the phone number, no one would know whose it is. All right? We work by names anyway. So text it in to me. It'll be anonymous. There's no dumb questions in this. All right? So submit means, dictionary.com, it's a noun. In the noun version, it means to give over or to yield the power or authority of another. All right? To yield to the power of another. That's what it means as a noun verb, okay? As a verb, which is an active movement, to defer, that's a burp, that's a verb, verb, to defer to one another's opinions or decision. All right? That's what it means in a verb. All right? So, all right. Yes? Oh, all right. So, who do you submit to? This is like the biggest question when we get on submittance. Oh, yeah, who do I got to do it to? I really like Ephesians 2:21 because it says submit to everyone. Submit to one another out of the reverence of the Lord. So who do you submit to? Get over it. You submit to everybody in the church. You don't get your way. I love that as a meaning for the word submit is you do not get your way. God gets his, or the other person gets what they think is best for you. So who do you submit to? These are some biblical examples in my opinion. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Just take it anywhere from the Bible. All right. It's throughout the whole thing of people submitting to who he is, to people submitting to God. The spiritual authority placed by God, that'd be your campus ministers, that'd be your ministers, and that'd be elders, deacons. Those are people put in your church for a reason. Is it hard? Yes. But they're put there for a reason, because God placed them there. All right? And that's one thing we don't really want to admit. Sometimes they're placed there to see how well you submit, all right? And does it suck? Yes! It's horrible! In a worldly sense. But you know what's really strange? In a spiritual sense, God takes the horrible and he makes some wonderful, beautiful things from it. Spiritual authority placed by God. Sometimes we're mean, not meaning to be, because we want to get what's best for you. Sometimes we got to break you, that hurts. Sometimes with a pot, or you know, sometimes we got to do what God ever tells us to do with you. Sometimes it's building you up, sometimes it's praising you, sometimes it's rebuking you. We got to do all those things. It hurts. Submission's not only hard on you, it's the hard on the person who you have to submit to. It's hard. It's a hard thing. A spouse. Notice I didn't say girlfriend or boyfriend. No way. You do not submit to them. Spouses submit to each other. Guess what? If you married them and you don't want to submit to them, you shouldn't have married them. Now you are chained to ever for someone you hate. Good job. Wise move. Should have listened to a spiritual authority. All right? Leads us to square one. All right? If you have one, if you have one spiritual authority, and someone asks, well, how do you know that your spiritual authority is doing good things? If the answer comes out of the scriptures, in a solid context, in the way that the author meant it to be used, then it's correct. If you have someone telling you unbiblical things, do not listen to them. Because the Bible is the ultimate spiritual authority. That's where we go to. That's where I go to. If you have a question, say, what about this? I go to the Bible to see what it is. You have to be submissive to the scriptures. All right? I didn't put that in there, but I should have. One another is in 5:21. One of my favorite ones is not the world. Yeah. That's who you don't submit to. Jesus didn't say, hey, guess what? If you just live this life, you're going to love. God's going to give you a Mazda. It's going to be great. You're going to have fun, rich, nice family. You're going to live in the burbs somewhere. Choose anywhere you want. It's not what God said. In fact, I think he said, they will hate you. Do you realize that the world cannot stand our Lord for 3 years?
Yeah.
You realize it put up with Buddha for many, many years? Just saying, you know? The world hated Jesus. And if you submit to him, you're not submitting to the world, so therefore it hates you. But let's be honest. What does the world want you to do? It wants you to dress in a certain way. It wants you to act a certain way. And it wants you to be things. I love how someone says, oh, Christianity is just brainwashing. Really? Why did you buy those jeans? Because I saw Justin Timberlake wear them. They look fat.
What?
What? What? Then you smack them in the head because they said fat, all right? That is totally a 90s reference. All right. At least I'm current. I guess that's... I don't know. I've messed everything up. All right, so... First thing in the scriptures. Let's go to Matthew 16:13 through 23. Jesus didn't disillusion himself and his relationship to the Father. One thing that I missed that I think is very important. who's our biblical example on how to do things? Jesus. Did you know that Jesus submitted? Yes. He submitted all the time. How great is it that we have a Lord that says, I know how hard it is to submit to your death. Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. I sweat blood, dude. I love that. That's just, I never got that. Oh, gee, he was never really stressed. He just walked around, just actually floated around with a halo on his head. No, he didn't. He walked everywhere. He had an idiot companionship with him. I love Peter to death because he puts his foot in his mouth constantly. And I do that too. I mean, it's what he do. It's what he does. Do. Anyway. What he do? He didn't disillusion himself. I told you. Ask God speak. If I do, it's not right. All right. 16:13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked some of his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build the church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth, Peter, guess what? It will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anybody that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day he'll raise from the dead. Peter said to him and began to rebuke him, never, Lord, this shall not happen to you. I love how the guy in church says, this shall not happen to you. No, that's not how it went down. No. You just gave me the keys of the kingdom of the power of heaven. You said whatever I lose on heaven shall be loosed on earth. And whatever I build on heaven shall be built on heaven and earth. You said that, so this won't happen. Ha! I'm Peter. And this is what Jesus says to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. And you have not the things of God, but the things of men on your mind. Jesus knew what he had to do from the beginning. First rule of submittance is don't disillusion yourself. It's hard. Jesus knew exactly what he had to do. He knew exactly who he had to become. He knew exactly what the Father put him on this earth to do. He knew. And no one was going to take it away from him. So, Jesus knew what he had to do. He submitted to the Father. He didn't submit to Peter. And by the way, who's saying the easier thing? No, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you. Or God saying, yeah, this is going to happen to you. Who did he submit to?
God.
God, the Father, yeah. Submitted is always, is usually not knowing the outcome and trusting God. Or sometimes it's knowing the outcome and still trusting that God has it. I see this a lot with bad marriages and things. When people come up and talk to me about marriages and stuff, they say, well, what do I do? You married them. You submit to him. You love him. You do what the scriptures say. And maybe by your actions. But that's not, whoa, that's hard. Shouldn't have married him. That's the answer. I love children. I love them. Jesus knew what God had in store. He saw what God had to do to him, and he was still in control. He knew that God still had it. So, you submit to things you believe in. Jesus actually believed that the Father was going to bring him through it. So, you submit to things you believe in. First biblical example of Christ, all right? Let's go to this one, John 2, 23. Jesus put his faith in God, not in man. This is one of my favorites. It comes right after the Cana story, where Jesus turned water into wine. He says, "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast," this is Jesus, "many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing, and they believed." They believed. They thought, they were like, "Yes, this is who we're waiting for. This is what we're doing." And then you get on to the next verse. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all men, and he did not need man's testimony about men, for he knew what was in a man. Jesus did not put his faith in man. If you put your faith into me, I will let you down. If you put your faith into your college minister, as good intentions as we have, we're still men. We make mistakes. And if you don't think that we can make mistakes, or you say, "I can't believe we do that," get off your high horse. You make mistakes too. I hate that. Oh man, that makes me angry. "I can't believe you would do that. I'm a man, so get used to it. I'll let you down." Put your faith in God. Did you know in John chapter 6 that the people tried to make Jesus, they took Jesus and they tried to force him king. They tried to force him to be king. And Jesus is like, "No, no, 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 no. I'm not going to do it. No, no, it's not happening." Why? Isn't that the whole point? Because the will of the Father. He submitted to the Father. He didn't submit to man. That's what it means. So, God, or submitting is, he knew that an earthly king will perish, but a spiritual king is eternal. That's why he submitted. So, he didn't put his faith in man, he put his faith into God. If he put his faith in man, he'd been king right now. And guess what? It wasn't time yet. When he trusts God, he's going to have an eternal kingship. So, it says that Jesus was popular with people. In Luke 2:52, it says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and in favor with God and man." People liked him. That's one of my favorite. If you like SNL... All right, I'm big SNL junkie. I love it. I think it's funny. And let's face it, the new cast is not as funny as the cast in the 80s. Those guys were funny. One of my favorite guys is Franklin. You know who Franklin is? He's a guy who sits in front of a mirror. He has these big old glasses. He has his teeth that sticks out. And he's like, "Because I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and doggone it, people like me." He had to like give himself a pep talk every time. And my dad, I remember my dad sitting there, and he was like, "You see that? You like that? Yeah, it's funny. Don't be like that guy." I was like, "I don't know how to make this happen except that. Don't be like him, all right?" Jesus never had to do that. I love that he never had to make people like him. People just were drawn to him. Guess what? You don't have 5,000 people follow you around and hang on your every word and skip like 4 meals because you're a jerk. All right? Because you sat there the whole time like, "You're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell." No. Jesus said this, "I love you and I'm coming to give you a life abundantly." They're like, "I haven't eaten yet." He's like, "It doesn't matter. Because I have food beyond my kingdom and spiritual food and you'll never..." Oh, I can imagine some of the things, like people are just like, "This dude's crazy." I mean, come on. Let's be honest. In Matthew, the Sanhedrin hired these people to go kill him. They go to the guy, they hear him speak one time, and they come back. And I can imagine they come back like this. And they're like, "Why didn't you kill him?" It's like, "No one ever talked like that." How did he talk? This wasn't like angels behind him going, "No." I've heard some pretty mean, harsh, really rough things. And I've never said, said, no one's ever talked like that. Jesus has that authority that apparently when you hear it, it hits you in the gut, it rips your pants up, and then pulls your upper lip over your head. Just all those things that we talked about. That's what it does. And like, what did I come to do? I forgot. And I love the scriptures because that happens a lot. People come to Jesus with, they're like supposed to do one thing, and they totally forget what they're supposed to do. Hence Peter. He's sitting there mending his nets and just like, follow me. Okay. I don't get that. That's what Peter does. The tax collector's collecting taxes, just like, follow me. Done. Money everywhere. All right. It's like, Jesus did not trust himself with men. See what happens when you confine me? My brain goes. All right. So, it's like, when we can take away this. When submitting to God, you have to be prepared to make men mad. When submitting to God, you have to be prepared to make mankind mad. Like your parents. I don't know if anyone ever told you that. Jesus said you're going to hate them on my account. Your boyfriend, girlfriend, you're not going to like them. Your BFF. Oh, man. See what God has to say and not us. I love children. You submit to things you put your faith into. You submit to it. I'm going to say this again. There's one verse. It's not written on here, but John 17:1. After this, Jesus said, he looked up to the heavens and he prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Who was going to glorify the Son? The Father. The Son wasn't. The Son asked the Father because he knew who to put his stock into. He knew who to hitch his horse to. He knew who to follow. So you only submit to things you put your faith into. All right? Here's another thing. Oh, sorry. All right. Jesus actually loved God. How many of us can honestly answer that? Don't raise your hand. Ask yourself. How much do you really love God? It says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, Paul says it like this, but the man who loves God is known by God. You know, if you love him, he knows who you are. That would mean that if you don't love him, he doesn't know who you are. If you don't love God, fix that. Right now. Come up to me later. You can talk. I'll be more than willing to talk to you. But Jesus, and this just blows my mind, he actually loves God. He's not just some guy that sits there and says, maybe. He's a guy who actually, with every ounce of his heart, loves the Father. He says many times in John, me and the Father are one. And it keeps on coming up, just in different contexts. Like, me and the Father are one, Father and I one. Why I am Father? Why you, Father, I? It all comes up. In every, I love the Greek. I'm a big Greek guy. And I love the Greek because it's like John was like, I want to play words. You know, like, because it's like, this doesn't even make sense. And my Greek teacher said, I know, but isn't it awesome? He loved the God so much. John loved Jesus so much that it seems like he couldn't wait to put the words on the paper. He could not wait. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love the Father? Jesus actually loves God. He gets his high off God. He hopes in God. He dreams in God. God's his drug. Jesus, why are you in such a good mood? The Father. Jesus, why did you do that? The Father. Why did you heal him? The Father. Why did you raise from the dead? Because God, the Father, wants to glorify the Son. He loves them. You submit to what you love, all right? In Mark, one of the teachers come up and say, one of the teachers of the law came up, heard them debating, noticed that Jesus had given them the good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which one's most important? The most important one, said Jesus, is this. Listen, Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He didn't say that because it sounded good. He didn't say that because he said, Mark's one day going to write this, and I want them to worship me in every which way. He says it because he did it. That's why. He loves the Father with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength. And when you love God that much, a spouse just won't do. When you love God that much, children have lost their flavor. When you love God that much as Jesus loved the Father, the earth has nothing to offer. Nothing. He knew it. How awesome that our God actually loves Jesus, and Jesus actually loves God. Our example. You submit to what you love. The most important thing in the world. You want to know the secret of life? Love God. It's only two words. That's easy. I mean, someone from Lindenwood could get that. You know, it's like, I'm joking. TC's not here. That makes me sad. Submit to God. You only submit to things that you love. You only submit to things you love. All right? Last thing. Jesus trusted God. Go to Mark real quick. You're going to see this. It's kind of a crazy story. Mark 14, 34 through 36. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, Jesus said to them. Stay here and keep watch. You know, this story always makes me kind of laugh. Because I love us that get in, that say things like, I wouldn't have fallen asleep. Yeah, you would. These guys just had three glasses of wine and a full meal. You're going to sleep. All right? You are. You are going to sleep. All right? And Jesus is, you know. I love you say, no, you're not. Yeah, you would. You cannot judge them for something we ourselves would do. All right? So don't judge them. Said, stay with me. Keep watch. Going a little further, Jesus fell on the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father. This is Daddy. Yeah. He said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet not as I want, but as you want. You know what's really funny? From this text right here and from what I've read about Christ, it seems like he had questions about the next day. He knew how it was going to end, but he wanted it to pass. He didn't want it. One of the things, he wanted God to take this cup, but he submitted to God. My favorite line in the history of the world is that Jesus has no clue what I'm going through. Really? Really? You ever sweat blood? Seriously. Have you ever come to a conclusion where you're sitting there like, I got tests, I got this, I got this, I got this to do, I got this to do, I got this, I got my wife, I got my own, and then I got, you know, kids, I got kids, one day it's going to happen, and then I meet people that do this, you know, like I got taxes in 9 years, and I got this, and I got, oh, and I got this, and I got this, and then you just look and you're like, ah! I stressed so hard I bled blood out of my face. I never get that. You'd be calling up people. Or you'd tell no one. Let's be honest, you would tell no one. Something's wrong. Maybe accountability. That'd be awkward. What happened? I bled blood out.
Moving on. You know what I mean? Like,
Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. Guys, Jesus dealt with porn. He did. You cannot have a woman put oils all over your body. And I mean, my wife ever come to that, it's business time. You know what I mean? That's it. End the story. I'm married, you're not, it's okay, all right?
Yay for marriage!
All right, so. like, yeah, you cannot. Women. And I know I'm generalizing sin, and I'm sorry. It's not. Jesus dealt with body issues. He dealt with insecurities and not being good enough with the Father. He dealt with all things. He was tempted in all things, so he had to deal with all things. There is not a sin on the world that is defeated, that isn't defeated because of Christ. Christ defeated all sin. Yeah. He did it. Everything. It's awesome. I'm glad he did it, because I'd be an idiot if he didn't. still kind of an idiot, but I'm just a biblical idiot. All right. We are too, sometimes we're too stupid and self-involved to see what God's truly done for us. Jesus trusted God with everything in him, and he didn't get his way that night. He asked, I want this cup taken away. Did he die the next day? He did. He still submitted to God, even when he didn't get his own way. You can only submit to things you trust. We're going to recap just a little quick. You submit to things you believe in. You put your faith in things. Oh, you submit to things you put your faith in. You submit to things you love, and you submit to things you trust. Those are the four things. And guys, I don't want you, like I said, this is a 40-minute class. There is so much more to submittance and what Jesus did with it that we cannot cover. We haven't even scratched the surface. We haven't even seen the one letter on the book on how much Jesus did with submittance. All right? So walk away and like,
you can cover a lot.
Guess what? There's a lot to it. All right? These are four things that can help you. Right now, right here, if you put you submit to things you believe in, what do you believe in? You submit to things you put your faith in, what do you have your faith in? You submit to things you love, what do you love? And you submit to things you trust, what do you trust? Those are things that you submit to. That's it. I told y'all that I was speaking from examples. Those kids can't talk. I was a druggie for a really, really long time in my life. I dealt with things. I was a man whore, I'm going to be honest, just completely honest. Jesus has taken me and done something with me that my parents, they're not all believers. I mean, they are believers. I mean, my parents are phenomenal believers. I said that wrong. My parents are, I mean, they believe in God so much. But they looked at me, and I had things that they didn't know that I dealt with. They had no clue of the person I really was because I was such a great liar. I was molested when I was a little kid. I had issues with God. Deep-seated, rooted issues. I hated God for so much of my life. And I'm telling y'all this, not to build up, but to tell you this, I know from examples, and I wish to God I had a campus minister or someone in my life early enough in my life that actually cared about me, that said, Clint, what do you believe in? What do you put your faith into? What do you love and what do you trust in? Like I said, I was a druggie. The biggest thing, the thing that God used to get my example, and I'm telling you this because it's easier for someone to mold you and help you along the way. I was one of those guys where God had to take the pot, throw it against the wall about 90 miles an hour, and let it shatter into a million pieces. I was a football player. I could bench around 325 or something like that. And then I could squat 645. I had college looking at me to play football and stuff like that. I was about 12% body fat. I thought I was it. I remember standing up my junior year on the away side bleachers of our home field, looking up at God. I was an atheist because I had a problem with him, what happened to me when I was a kid. I looked up at God and I said, God, if you're stronger than me, you prove it. I have an issue with you and I'm challenging you. I snapped my groin in three places. Still to the point where I cannot run a mile and not feel it. Really funny, one of my students came up to me and was like, you want to run Bay Area, the beach to Bay. that funny? We're going to talk later. I'm training, all right? What's really funny is I can't run over a mile and not feel it, the pain so bad, but I'm going to do it. I hurt every day. I have a scar right here to right here. What happened was a thing called Pseudomonas. You don't know what that is. Pus, all right? And pus just got all throughout my body and accumulated into my stomach. And overnight, I became a pregnant 9-month lady. It was horrible and it was the worst pain I ever had. I had 105 degree temperature. I don't know how I survived, all right? I remember blacking out a lot. I was strong, though. I broke three beds. I really did. I got them and I just snapped them in two and I just kept on snapping them. That's how much pain I was in too, all right? It was horrible. They got me, they cut me open, they said it was like a giant pimple. I know that's disgusting, we're about to eat, but that's what it was like. And some girls are like, ooh. No, like, no. My wife, like, ah, all right, no. Not going there. All right. So, it's like, what's
really weird about it is sometimes I'll be like sound asleep, and Kelsey will come up and be like on my back somewhere, like, I'm like, ah! It was like that, but about 30 times worse, okay? I had a wound about a foot wide, half a foot to a foot, somewhere around there. I had 25 feet of gauze stuffed into me, all right? I don't know if you know what happens with blood and gauze over 3 days, but they get to like each other, you know? They become very well acquainted. I remember sitting there one time, and there was a guy, and he was a massive, massive man. He looked over me. He put a stick in my mouth, and he said, "This is going to hurt, buddy." They strapped me down, and they had to pull out the gauze, and they couldn't give me any painkillers. The reason why is because they needed to know I felt the pain. Yeah, God humbles. I was strong, and God broke me. And I was so angry that he broke me that I didn't become a Christian for 3 more years. You thought I was angry at God before. I was furious with him for proving me wrong. I'm telling you this because that was the beginnings of my humblings. Submit. God will break you. He will. He will. Look at our example. If you want to know how to do it. And some people are going, "I don't want to. I'm scared. I don't trust. I have trust issues. I have things." I think, Jesus, look at our biblical example, and Jesus had them too. You can get through this. You can surround yourselves with godly people. And guys, it's our time to grow up. I see far too many campus ministries that could be amazing, but no one submits to one another because they all want their way because they're being spoiled little brats. Don't be like that campus ministry. I'm pretty sure Revelation talks about that campus ministry pretty harshly. All right? When you get before God, are you going to say, "I did all I can do," or is like, "I just did what I liked"? Submit. Submittance also brings the most inexplicable joy ever. I was called into ministry. I left a really high-paying job to go into ministry, all right? And I don't know if you know how much ministers get paid. Try a cracker. You know, I mean, there's sometimes that, you know, I mean, it's fun. It's fun now to see the finances situation, you know? Went from a lot to nothing. But since then, I have crazy things that have happened to me. I've met a woman that I am absolutely, I was one of those guys, I said I'd never get married, and people, like, I was one of those guys, and people actually believed it, because I was such a jerk. I mean, they would never believe a woman could put up with me. I found the most amazing woman of my life. My minister said, "You must have got her drunk when you asked her, because I don't know how. I don't know how." I mean, if you see my wife, you'll clearly see she's out of my league, all right? Like, I swung for the fences, and I don't know how. I don't know, but I did. Praise God. She's a good gift from him. He gives you amazing gifts when you submit. It's funny, when blessings flow out and blessings come on is when you are in line with what God tells you to do and what God says you need to do. Because guess what? You don't know what's best. You don't. That's why God didn't trust you when he came down here. Trusted himself. So, here's the number. We're going to have a couple questions and things like that. So if y'all have any questions, please do not hesitate to text them in. We're going to say a prayer, and then we can answer a couple questions. So, dear Heavenly, most amazing God in the history of the world. Wow. Dad, isn't it ironic that I'm teaching this? Isn't it ironic? Wow, you're a good God. And you do some amazing things. God, I pray that people actually heard this, Father God, that they don't have to go through the things that I had to. That, God, that Jesus is a better way. And that, God, we can trust him when he says, "I give you life and I want you to live it more abundantly." To the point where you look at every other lives and say, "Those are horrible lives to what God has given me." For some strange reason, we play a major role in our drama that you've given us and you want us to do something with it. That, God, you are not okay with mediocrity, Father God, and neither should we. Father, we are here because we need to learn how to submit. So God, teach us.
through godly people around us, through this lesson maybe, Father God, or God, maybe you have to break those. And God, those who break, I pray that it's a hard break. That God, they know you're God, and they know you're God with a vengeance, and that they are not. I love you. We love you. We praise you, and we thank you for everything you've given us. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, I heard it go off. Let's see. Okay. Someone said that was a terrible Franklin impersonation. Thank you. All right. Any questions, comments? Cool. Y'all are free to go have a free lunch. Have a good free lunch. it's not on me. So, thank y'all very much. God bless you guys. So. Oh, I